Do you want to be made well? If asked this question, what would your answer be? I can say from personal experience this past week, having had a blood clot in my leg break loose and part of it go to my lung, I'm going to tell you something. My answer would have been immediately, precisely, and to the point, yes! I want to be healed. Yes! I want to be made well. Yes! Now! Thank you! Please! But that wasn't this man's response, now was it? Today we find ourselves confronted with a story of our God's loving, unearned, unoccasioned, unprovoked grace. Grace that not only comes to us before we have faith, grace that comes to us even when we don't have faith at all. Indeed, it is grace that comes to us and elicits from us, unfortunately, not faith in this case, but grace that comes despite our lack of faith. That's right. Grace comes to us sometimes even despite our lack of a response of faith. That's the grace we're going to hear about today, the unprovoked grace of God. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence, for we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living, for we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I am sometimes asked, I have faith, Greg. I have faith that God can heal me. I have faith in the healing power and presence of Jesus. I have faith in the healing grace of God. Why aren't I healed? In fact, it's a question that I've been asking myself this past week and indeed the last several weeks. Why me, God? Why am I ill? Why does my leg hurt? Why do I have a blood clot that's trying to kill me? Why? If I have faith, do I have to be sick? We so frequently want to hook together the idea of healing with the idea of faith. And so, to the point, indeed, that we sometimes act as if it's our faith that heals us. And there are times in Scripture, there are passages in the New Testament where Jesus says, your faith has made you well. The response of a believer reaching out for God's grace becomes a channel through which they receive that grace. But here today, in this passage here in John chapter 5, we have an image, we have a story, we have an account which lays to rest the question of God's grace coming to us only when we have faith. We have something that lays to rest this idea that you gotta have faith to be healed. Because, my friends, there ain't no faith in this story. Not in this one. Here we see that the ultimate truth is that God heals. God's grace heals. Sometimes even despite our failure to respond. Now Jesus noted that this man was ill. He had been ill for a very, very long time. And asked him, and so he came up to him, and when he saw him there and knew that he'd been there for a long time, he asked him the very obvious question, do you want to be healed? Now, at first glance, this actually looks like a rather stupid question. The guy was sick. The guy was by the pool where people went to get healed. Therefore, it doesn't take a degree in logic to know that he's there to get healed and he wants to be healed, right? He is there for the pool to heal him. but he can't get there. Jesus' question is not a stupid question. Jesus knows something about this man that we don't. Jesus knows that this man has no faith. But he asked him anyway if he wanted to be healed. He offered him the grace of healing anyway. Now, I can't get past this man's response to Jesus' question. He doesn't say, like you and I probably would, "Yes, I want to be healed. Yes, I want to be made well. Yes, I want to stop hurting. Yes, I want to be able to walk. Yes, I want to be able to get up and dance. Yes." No. He doesn't answer in that way that you would absolutely expect. Instead of "yes," he runs off at the mouth as to why he hasn't been able to get down to the water. Instead of "yes," he gives an excuse for why he hasn't been healed. Now, did Jesus ask him why he hadn't gotten himself down to the water? No. Jesus simply asked him if he wanted to be healed. "Do you want to get well?" And he gets a sob story about why this man can't get down to the water. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked on this little tributary. However, if this guy could get himself to the pool for 38 years and could be there to watch as the water would be stirred up, why couldn't he have figured out a way to get himself down into the pool before the water was stirred up so he'd be there when the water was stirred? If it had been me, I would have gone and planted myself in the pool and taken a bath in it, waiting for the water to be stirred. Wouldn't you? That's what I would have done. I wouldn't have waited. I would have pushed people out of the way and plopped myself down in the pool to be there when the water was stirred up. No, this guy, he sits down there and he waits. And he waits. The water is stirred. They tell him it's stirred. He gets up to go. Someone gets in his way. He can't get there in time. Oh, woe is me. Oh, sob story. Oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. I can't be healed because. And you know something that's not very different from the kind of responses I hear from people when I ask them, "Do you want to be healed?" And they say, "Oh, I can't be I can't possibly be healed. I'm too much of a sinner. I can't possibly be healed. I'm too sick. I can't possibly be healed. I'm not important enough in God's plan. I can't possibly be healed. I don't have faith." And yet this passage here blows away that last one completely. All of them, actually. Because here is a man, he's beside the pool, waiting for the waters to be stirred. He can't get down there in time. When Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" His response is not yes, but why he can't get there. Now notice what Jesus does not do. Does he help this guy to the pool? No. Does he get someone else to help this guy to the pool? No. Does he even say, "Hey, bub, do you want me to heal you?" No. He says, "Get up off your buns and move. Get up, take your mat, and walk. Don't sit there waiting. Act." Now note what verse 9 says. It doesn't say that the man was moved to have great faith in Jesus and he struggled to his feet, and in the process of growing to his feet, his faith was kindled and he was healed. No. This isn't that kind of story, so don't make it into one. This is a totally different kind of story. In this story, the man is healed. And then he gets up, takes his mat, and walks. In effect, the statement in verse 9 is the proof that the healing had occurred, that the healing was real. It's not a statement of faith. It's a statement of fact. The healing was there. This is not a response of faith. Oh, sure, I have heard it preached that way many times. The man's faith was whipped up by Jesus' statement to get up and walk and take his mat. And that man's faith connected him with God's grace, and he received the healing touch of God. and was unable to walk. Oh, I'd love to preach this message that way. That fits beautifully with my theology of means of grace. In fact, I think I have preached this message that way in the past. On this passage, too. But if you read on past verse 9, on down through verse 18, you discover something very different happening here. You find out faith is not present. At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath day. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to be carrying your mat." But the man who was healed answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Is there any faith in that? None. Yeesh, this idiot didn't even know that it was Jesus who had healed him. They asked him, "Who healed you? Who did this?" He said, The man who healed me told me to take my mat and walk." And they said, "Who is this man?" And I don't know. But he's the one who told me to do this. So here he is in the temple. He's probably making restitution for having violated the Sabbath day. And Jesus comes up behind him and says, "Now you see, you're healed. Now don't sin anymore or worse things will happen to you." And what does he do? Does he say, "Thank you, Jesus"? Does he say, "Praise God, Jesus, thank you for healing me"? Does he say, "That's mighty kind of you, Jesus, to heal me"? No. This guy goes and tattles on Jesus and says, "Hey, the guy who told me to pick up my mat and carry it, the guy who healed me on the Sabbath day and told me to break the law too, it was Jesus who did it." That's what it says. There's not a single act of faith anywhere in this passage. You might be able to make an argument for his actually getting up and walking, taking his mat, but it doesn't say that he was healed in that process. That was a sign of the truth of the healing. The man himself didn't know who it was who had healed him, tried to pin the blame for his own breaking of the Sabbath day law on the guy who healed him on the Sabbath day. Then when he found out who it was, he went and told the Jewish leaders who it was who had healed him. Sorry. This guy is an ingrateful person. I titled this sermon "Unprovoked Grace" because I thought that sounded theologically astute. The original title that I came up with lying on the couch at Mom and Dad's house was "An Ingrateful Slob Who Gets Healed." This is what he is. He never once says thank you to Jesus. He never once says thank you for healing me. He never once says thank you. 38 years this jerk was sick. 38 years sitting by a pool moaning and groaning because he couldn't get down there and people get in his way. 38 years. I'm going to tell you, 38 minutes of pain drives me absolutely up the wall. 38 years. And this guy doesn't have the sense to say even thank you. He doesn't even have the sense to know who it was who healed him. That's called being self-absorbed, my friends. That's being called so wrapped up in your own life and your own existence that you don't even pay attention to what's going on around you. He starts off by answering Jesus by saying why he couldn't get down to the pool rather than, "Yes, I want to be healed." He's caught up in his own life, his own existence. Then when Jesus tells him to get up and take his mat and walk, and he does, he's healed. He then gets accosted by the legalists around him for working on the Sabbath day. Instead of saying a miracle was performed, why aren't you paying attention to that, you legalists? No, he says, it was the guy who healed me. Who was it? Well, I don't know. And when he finds out, he goes and tattles. No faith, not a single shred of faith here. This louse has no faith and no thanksgiving to Jesus. And quite frankly, my friends, sometimes neither do we. We often want to come up with reasons why we can't be healed. God doesn't heal anymore. That was what was for biblical times, not for the 21st century. That was for the days of the Bible, not for the days of spaceships and computers and the internet. That wasn't for today, that was for then. Or if we believe that God can and does heal today, we might say, I don't need God's healing. I got doctors for that. I got Dr. Loveless over here for that. She can write me a prescription 4 years from now. She can write me a prescription for whatever drug I need. Doctor. I need a prescription. Or we may think, I'm not good enough to be healed by God. I've done too many bad things in my life. Or we may say, I really don't have faith that God can heal me. Notice what's true about all of these excuses. They all tend to wrap around ourselves, don't they? I.e., God can't, but the world can through medicine, so I don't have to worry about God. Or, I'm not good enough. Or, I don't have enough faith. All of these excuses for not receiving God's healing wrap around the self, just as this guy sitting by the pool. His excuses wrapped around himself. He couldn't be healed because he couldn't get down to the pool in time. Rather than saying, I want to be healed. I want to be made well. He comes up with an excuse for why he hasn't been healed. That's not what Jesus was asking. Jesus asks us the same thing he asked the man. Do you want to be made well? If you do, the answer is simple. Act in faith. Well, the man didn't act in faith. Yes, he walked. But he didn't say thank you. He didn't know who it was who had healed him. When he found out, he tattled on him. And there's certainly no act of faith in this passage. Not in my opinion. The good news is that we have a chance to act in faith. We have a chance to act in faith on the forgiveness and the healing touch of God for us today. And we need that healing touch. We need it badly. Every one of us, from the youngest and most healthy to the ones who are the sickest, need the healing touch of God, need the forgiving touch of God, need the grace of God for our living today. That's what the sacrament is about. I've preached this message before too, and I'll do it again. One of the theme passages that I've preached, and it's one that every congregation needs to hear. In the sacrament, there are two elements. There's bread, and there's wine or grape juice. There's the bread and there's the cup. The cup symbolizes the outpoured blood of Jesus Christ. It becomes a means through which we receive the grace of God, the forgiveness of God's blood poured out from the cross. It becomes a focus of faith to put into an actualized action our belief that His blood covers our sins. The bread is a symbolic embodiment of His flesh, His body. It is a reminder of His real presence here. In both human and divine nature, He is here today, now, within each of us, in the room, in the scriptures, in the hymns, in the sacrament, before us on the table.
And we are reminded when the bread is torn or broken that he was whipped and bruised for our iniquities, our sins, and our infirmities, our illnesses, our sicknesses. And by his stripes, by the whipping he received, we are healed. We have sins covered here, and we have sicknesses covered here. As a means of grace, we have the opportunity to come to the table with the faith that this man didn't have. And with the thanksgiving that this man did not have. The sacrament is sometimes called the Eucharist. What does that mean? I had every once in a while somebody will come up to me with a bulletin and point to that term in the service, and it says the Holy Eucharist, and they say, what does that mean? And I'll say, that means in Greek, thanksgiving. And what we do in Holy Communion is we give thanks to God for the grace he has given to us, for the power and the presence of his life in our lives, for the healing touch and the forgiving touch that he offers to us. And we give thanks in such a way that he becomes truly present with us and is a conduit for us to receive more grace, grace upon grace. That's what it means when we talk about it as a means of grace and as a focus of faith. This guy received God's grace before he did anything. It had an effect in his life before he did or said anything of faith. And indeed, everything that he did after then showed he had no thanksgiving. He had no thanksgiving to give to God for the grace he had received. Instead, he did what many of us do. He tried to come up with excuses, and then he pointed the finger of blame when he was doing something that others thought he shouldn't be doing. We have an opportunity today to come to the table of the Lord, to reach out in faith with thanksgiving and receive the grace that we need. That's our opportunity today. Avail yourself of that opportunity, my friends. Don't be like this man who at first didn't know who healed him and then when he found out, told on him. Don't be like this man who did not once thank Jesus for the healing. Give thanks to God. Act in faith. Focus on his life, his presence here with you today, and receive his grace again that can forgive and heal and make whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.